Well, I'm thankful to be able to be here again.
Amen.
Thankful for each one of you and want to go to heaven with you.
Yes.
And I believe the Lord wants that every bit as much as we do. And the Lord, as Paul said, I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that thing which I've committed unto him unto that day. Thankful for that. I realize that it's going to require something on our part to make it. The Lord has made it possible and done everything that he can that we can be successful in our walk with him.
Yes.
And I'm thankful for that. But there's a requirement for every one of us as well. There's a part that we have to play. And I'd like to consider that this evening. Ask that you would pray the Lord would bless the thoughts that he's given to me, that he's been challenging and helping me with. I'd like to begin in the book of Luke, a familiar passage here in the 9th chapter of Luke. Luke 9, and beginning in the 57th verse. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Here we have the account of several people that expressed their desire to the Lord. Lord, I want to follow you. For whatever reason they expressed that in their dealings with Jesus and their observance of Jesus and hearing of his teaching, it touched their heart and there was something within them that wanted to follow the Lord. Now we have recorded in the book of John that not everybody wanted to follow the Lord for the right reasons. Jesus said to them in one place, You don't follow me because you saw the miracles and you were persuaded or you believed in me, but because you were fed, because you received of the loaves and the fish, and you're back because you're hungry again. You're following me for the wrong reasons. And Jesus, as much as he gave that people might follow him, and as much as that was his purpose and his calling from the Father, he yet, looking at those, he said, there's a requirement. You're not able to follow me unless you're willing to not turn back. Unless you're willing to commit yourself to the cause and to follow me. And Jesus never engaged in what you might think of as bait and switch, where he would entice somebody. If you ever, you get a flyer or you hear on the radio sometimes where they'll give an appealing advertisement and then you hear this speed reading at the end, that are the terms and conditions and the fine print that if you dig far enough, you might not want to buy the product. Jesus was very forthright in saying, here's what it is. I'm not promising you something of a life of ease. I'm not promising that every day you're going to have loaves and fish in abundance. That's not what my promise or what I've even come to offer to you. He wanted to be able to be forthright for them to count the cost and be determined and willing to follow him. Thought that I have tonight is about commitment. Commitment. You know, it's something that is required for success in really many endeavors in life. Requires a commitment. Commitment is an agreement or a pledge by one definition to do something in the future. That I have an agreement or I vow myself or make a pledge that I'm going to do this thing. You know, there are a lot of things that I've started out wanting to do. I've wanted to learn other languages. And it's been met with very limited success. When we were in India this last year, I said, you know, I want to learn some Tamil. It would be so helpful if I could come back and speak some Tamil. And I started out with a little app on my phone that would teach you 2 to 3 words a day. But you know, it's not easy. It's one thing to want it. It's one thing to say, you know, I recognize a need. You know, this would be nice to be able to have or to do. But there's something required between where I am now and where I want to get to. And it's called, for one thing, it's called commitment. It's going to require that I stick with a thing, that I am resolved and committed, that I'm going to carry through on this, not just in the passion of the moment, not just whenever I feel inspired or my heart is lifted up and I want to go do something like that, but it's going to require day after day a consistency and a commitment to that cause in order for it to be met with success. There have been times that I've thought I'd like to be able to play an instrument. You know, it's the same thing. People can make it look so easy, but you sit down and try it, and you can become discouraged real quickly. It's going to require an effort, a dedication, and a commitment on our part. Played a little bit of chess sometimes with people who are very passionate about chess and not very good at it at all. But you know, in playing with them, I think, you know, I'd like to get a lot better at this. Enjoy the game and enjoy the mental exercise that it gives me. And I'd like to be able, but you know, it requires a commitment that I've not made. And as much as I want to, and I think at times whenever a friend, Brother Marty's one that likes to play chess, and sometimes if I visit him, he'll, well, let's get the chess board out. And you know, at a time like that, I think, oh, I wish I was a little better. I wish I would have practiced from the last time we talked about this or did this. But it requires a commitment to be able to get there. Whether it's in business, in relationships, there have been changes socially in our world where commitment is something that's feared and thought of to be avoided. I was reading something of some statistics of those regarding marriage and those that live together instead of marriage or before marriage. There is someone that we know well that has not had a successful marriage themselves and have two precious young children that they're raising, and they expressed that their desire for their child was to find the one that they think they love, and you move in with them and you live with them for a couple years and you see whether or not you like it. See whether or not you're cut out for that before you make the commitment. People are afraid of making commitments, afraid of tying myself to something. You know, I believe we're a people, I am, that like options. Whether it's on my car, I want to be able to have some options or to be able to customize. I believe it was Burger King that for a number of years, their slogan was, have it your way. However you want it, you can customize it the way you want it and you can get it just the way you want it, whether it's hamburgers or cars. People want to be able to have options. I want to be able to have it my way. And I don't like the idea, people might think, of being tied down to a commitment. There was a time that it seemed like in the workplace, people were more committed to their place of employment. That they might start at a job, and I'm not that there's anything wrong of in changing employers, but there was a sense of commitment, a sense of loyalty, that I want the success of this company, and I want to be part of that, and I want to invest my time and my energy into making that possible. Instead of just if somebody will come along and offer a little bit more money, I'm gone. I've encountered in mission work, sometimes there are preachers who will come along and they'll show some interest, and Maybe come to a minister's meeting and listen and say, you know, I like what I hear. What do we need to do to follow? What do we need to do to be a part of you or to be in fellowship? And you try to explain what the Bible way is. And they'll say that, heard a number of times, well, if you could give a salary, if you could give so much money every month, then we'd love to follow. We'd love to be a part of or in fellowship with you and worship together with you. I mean, you know, there's something missing from that. A commitment to the cause, a vision, a conviction within my own heart that this is what it's going to require, that I've counted the cost, that it's not just on a whim. It's not just in the passion of the moment that I sign up for something and then that moment passes and someone else comes along and says, well, you know, we have a different doctrine. We'll pay you a little bit more money. And that's the extent or the depth of the commitment. That's not what the Lord is looking for. That's not, as Jesus said, you're not going to be fit for the kingdom of heaven. You're not going to be able to be suited to be successful all the way. You're not going to have what it takes if your commitment doesn't go any deeper than that. I'd like to look at the book of Ecclesiastes. The fifth chapter. Ecclesiastes 5, beginning with the first verse. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Oh, it's so easy to have a desire or a want to or an intention or again in the passion of the moment that I have a thought that I'd like to be able to speak a different language. I'd like to be able to do this or I'd like to be able to do that. And maybe I even start in on it. Maybe for a little while I give myself to it. It's why I don't have anything to prove this, but I suspect if you could look at the data from gyms and look at membership throughout the year, my suspicion is that you would see a peak in January and then you would see a decline through the year because those kind of vows oftentimes don't last very long. That kind of commitment isn't there. The scripture here is warning about the commitments that we make to the Lord. That we be careful with the vows that we make to the Lord. So what conclusion should I draw from the scriptures here? Should I say then, as it says here, that it's better not to vow a vow than to vow a vow and not pay it? Should I then say, well, I just shouldn't make any vows to the Lord. I just shouldn't make any kind of promise to the Lord. But you know, that's really what we talked about of the place of the world is in. I don't want to make any commitments. I don't want to tie myself down. I want to leave myself with some options. Lord, I want to follow you. That's my desire. But I don't want to commit myself too far here. Lord, if I get too serious about this thing, I don't know what you're going to ask of me. I don't know what you're going to require of my consecration, of my giving myself to you. So Lord, I'm going to leave myself with some options here. You know, that's, the Lord is looking for more than that. He's warning us of a caution, of not being just hasty, of not being of a mindset where we're like, as James talks about, that we're a hearer of the word, and we hear the word and it stirs something within us, and I think, I want to do that. I want to be that kind of, I want to measure up on that line, but I don't have the commitment, I don't give myself to it, to be successful at that thing and to be more than a hearer but a doer of the word. I'd like to think of a couple different aspects of commitment. Commitment to the Lord. Let's look at Psalms, the 66th chapter. As we think of vows. Psalm 66 and 13 says, I will go into the house, thy house, with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. Oh, how easy whenever people are in trouble. Whenever a nation is in trouble and there's distress and they turn to churches or turn at least to the idea of God in their minds. And then when trouble subsides, so does their determination and their commitment to that. But it says here, Lord, the vow that I made when I was in trouble, Lord, I'm going to pay that unto you. I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I want to pay some vows unto the Lord. He's worthy of our commitment. I'd like to share with you a story that I read that's been an inspiration to me. It's from the 14th century of a king of Bohemia, King John. This king was one, without relating all of his life story, for I don't know a whole lot of it. But he was one, as king, he went out into battle against other nations and other perceived threats to the kingdom. And in one of his crusades, he contracted a sickness or an infection that affected his eyesight. And he ended up becoming blind as he was king, and he was known as Blind King John. He was, for the last 10 years or so of his life, he was blind. And so as a result of that, he required assistance, and those who were dedicated to his help and his care. Well, there was a battle. You may have heard or read about the Hundred Years' Battle. One such, or Hundred Years' War, one of the battles of that war, he heard that the battle was going on, and it was in his heart to be part of that battle. I'll read to you just a little bit of what was attributed to what he said. He said, far be it that the king of Bohemia should run away. Instead, take me to the place where the noise of the battle is the loudest. The Lord will be with us. Nothing to fear. Just take good care of my son. Well, this is a blind king. How much good is a blind man going to do in the battle? But his heart was there. And as the invading nation of England was invading mainland Europe, France, he was in allegiance with France. And as he purposed and desired to go out into battle, he told his subjects and his men that were loyal to him, he said, as I read to you, I want to go out into battle. Well, he can't do that by himself. But history records that these men were very loyal, and from what I understand, that they loved their king, and whenever they knew the king's desire, they said, we'll go with you. And they wanted to make it possible. And so as they went out onto the battlefront and they were about to make their charge, they took the horses knowing the nature of the battle and the chaos that can ensue, and perhaps even the faintness of their own hearts in the heat of battle. And they took, knowing the king's desire, they took the bridles from the horses and they tied each one of them together to the king's horse. As the king is there in the middle and his subjects on either side, purposing in their hearts, king, this is your desire. We're going with you all the way to the end. We're tying the bridles together by a commitment, by a vow that they were making. For life or for death, we're with you. I'm separating myself from any option. If I should get into the heat of the battle, well, the king's blind anyway. How's he going to know if I turn back and I'm not there charging into the battle alongside him? But their allegiance and their commitment to him was such that they said, we're going all the way. We're going to make that kind of commitment and vow. And I've been challenged by that. Lord, if they could do that unto a man, how much more worthy are you of my allegiance and of my vow that I'd pay to the Lord? That, Lord, I'm going to make some commitments. I'm going to pay some vows unto the Lord. Lord, I'm not in this to just say, well, Lord, I want to. Lord, if things go well, I'm going to kind of test the waters. You know, that's to accommodate our desire for options in our nation today. The return policy of many stores is very generous. That you can buy it and try it out for 30, 60, 90 days and see if you like it. And you'll even hear sometimes or see advertisements for a new bed. And a 6-month no obligation or a 6-month no commitment agreement. We'll send you the bed, nothing to worry about, no commitment, because you might be, what if I get it and I pay for it and I don't like it and I want to send it back and all of that. So we'll give you a no commitment option here. That's not what the Lord's looking for. Lord, I'm going to try this. I'm going to go so far. But I want some options to be able to back out in case I should need. There's a Psalm 118, a scripture that says, bind the sacrifices to the horn of the altar. We have to make some commitments to the Lord. Lord, I'm going to be committed to you for life or for death. Regardless of the circumstances or how this thing turns out, Lord, my faith is in you. My allegiance is unto you. I'd like to talk also about commitment to his cause. The Lord wants us to be committed to him and to his cause. We read of accounts in the Civil War of standard bearers. Their responsibility in the battle wasn't to bear arms. Their responsibility was to carry the flag. And it was considered to be a very important responsibility. It was considered of an utmost disgrace for a regiment to lose their standard or their flag that marked their state or their particular regiment or battalion. It's the rallying cry. Whenever you see through the smoke and the haze of battle and you see that flag flying and you remember, maybe your family at home, if you're from Vermont or from one of the states that would have been back then, and you see that flag flying and there was a pride in that. I'm representing my state, my district, and I don't want to see that. There's a cause that I'm fighting for. I don't want to see that cause disgraced. There are stories of those standard bearers. Of course, it's like if you're carrying a flag, it's like carrying a bullseye right over you, and they sustained casualty after casualty. You can read about some of the battles where one standard bearer after another was shot, and somebody else would come along. We can't let the flag fall to the ground. We can't let the cause be trampled underfoot here. There's an allegiance. There's a commitment to the cause. Regardless, it'd be easy enough to say, I just saw my brother there fall carrying the flag. I'd be a fool to do the same thing. You know, the enemy will make us think we're a fool to commit ourselves completely to this cause. But there's a cause, as the song No Ground says, there's a cause worth fighting for. Devil, we're not going to take no more. There's something that's worth giving ourselves unto and committing ourselves unto. Sometimes we need to be reminded and renewed in our mind of the purpose and the cause that we're fighting for. Because I can become weary in the battle. I can become battle-worn and fatigued. And I just don't feel like fighting on. And I just don't feel like continuing on. And I need to be able to see that standard that's raised up. I need to be able to see it flying in its glory and majesty. That standard is Christ for us. There's a song, I believe, Stand Up for Jesus. Says, hold high, lift high the royal banner. It must not suffer loss. Lord, help every one of us to be committed to his cause.
Yes.
Believe it was Nehemiah, whenever they were rebuilding the walls of the city, they met with opposition. It's one thing again to say, you know, it'd be nice to have this city rebuilt. But it's another thing though, opposition comes.
Yes.
Your neighbors are against you. Quarrels maybe break out among your brethren to say, you know, I just don't know if it's worth it. I just don't, or maybe I'm just going to work on my house here. Forget the other wall. Forget the other part of it. You're on your own. But these people, as Nehemiah gathered them together, and it would seem from the account that they were discouraged by Sanballat and the enemy that was opposing them on every hand. And Nehemiah had a little pep rally with them, if you will, and called them together. And he told them in the fourth chapter, you can read of Nehemiah. He said, remember and fight for your brethren and your sisters and your sons and your daughters. Remember the cause that you're fighting for. Whenever you get tired, whenever you get weary, whenever you wonder sometimes, is it worth committing myself to this thing? It seems like it just puts a bullseye on me. You know, the enemy is going to be opposed to us if we're going the Lord's way. We can expect to face opposition following the Lord. But I want to remind and encourage us tonight, it's worth it. There's a cause worth fighting for. Asaph in Psalm 73. Read about where he said that his feet had well nigh slipped. He said, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And he goes on to talk about how he looked on them and their wickedness and their abandonment of God, and yet it seemed like they prospered and had abundance, and in their death it was easy, and it seemed like in his mind that I'm doing all of this for naught. I'm chastising myself every day. I'm trying to go the right way for no reason, for no avail. And then he said, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. You know, we need to have that place of refreshing with the Lord when I'm weary, when I'm tired, and the devil brings thoughts of discouragement, that I need the Lord to be able to help me. Lord, renew my vision. Lord, renew my eyesight. Help me to be able to see the cause and the purpose that I'm fighting for. You see in businesses even, that they recognize the importance of the employees having a sense of purpose. That if they feel like there's a purpose that they're getting up and going to work, maybe just my example, in the aviation industry, they tell us over and over and the importance of the work that we do. And they remind us, at least before this COVID situation, of the number of thousands of people at any given time that are in the air on one of the planes that's flying our engine that has the part that you work on. There's a purpose. Don't just get careless. Don't just get complacent. Don't just get to the place where you think, my little job doesn't matter. You know what? I don't always feel like getting up and going to work. I don't always feel like it's wonderful when you do. And I hope that those that work, I hope you have a job where you just jump out of bed and your feet hit the floor and you can't wait to get at it. But it's not my experience every day. And you know, that's not really what life is about.
Yes.
It's about commitment. It's about whether I feel like it or not. There's a cause. There's something that I'm working towards. And as a company would expect more productivity from an employee who realizes, you know what, I'm making a difference. You know, it's important for us to see the cause. Without a vision, people perish. Lord, help me to have a vision of your cause, of the importance of what's at stake in my life. Commitment to the cause of the Lord.
Yes.
I'd like to consider Lastly, a commitment to each other. The song we sing, Sister Angela wrote, "We need each other, brethren," says, "Let us vow to each other. I will help, I will comfort, will pray. I'll carry your load when it's heavy." You know, the scripture says, "Bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." I'll tell you something that I've learned to my shame. There was an individual that walked away from the Lord. It seemed a shame. We tried to reach out, tried to call. Calls weren't answered. Messages weren't returned. Did everything it seemed like I could. And I got to the point I thought, he's gone. There's nothing I can do. And I had just about given up on the individual. But there was another brother that I have a lot of respect for who continued. Not at a nagging, harassing, but just if calls weren't answered, leave a message. We love you. We care about you. Praying for you. Consistently. And continued in service to request prayer over and over and over again. How committed are we to one another? To bear one another's burdens? You know the Lord heard those prayers? And that brother is a pillar in our congregation. There's a cause worth fighting for. There's a cause worth laboring for. At times when it seems like you might as well give up. It seems like sometimes maybe I ought to just live unto myself. Leave others to themselves and their problems. Folks, there's a bond that unites us one to another. That we're knit together in love. And that we bear one another's burdens, we can avail the throne of grace in prayer. Mentioned about work, the fact that you don't always feel like getting up and going to work in the morning, but I do it because I have a responsibility. I do it for one thing, because the scripture says if I don't provide for my family, gives a pretty clear pronouncement on that. There's a cause. There's a purpose that I've got to work for. You know, when it comes to serving one another, when it comes to working for the Lord, it's about more than emotion and feeling and even inspiration. Our services and the work of the Lord is to be led and ordained and ordered by the Holy Spirit. Yes. But what I mean by it being more than inspiration, I believe there's more than just if we come together. Well, you know, if I feel when we kneel down for prayer, I feel a burning visitation from the Lord, then and only then will I lead out in prayer. If I feel a song has just been ringing through my mind and I feel the fire burning, I'll call it. You know, there is also a sense of duty in going to the word of the Lord. I don't know about you. There are times that I go read the word and it blesses, and it's just exactly what I need for that moment, that day. And it witnesses to me and it blesses my heart. But you know, there are other times where it doesn't seem like at that very moment that it just does the same thing. But there's a commitment that says it's more than about what I feel or what I get at the moment. It's about more than just an emotion or a passion. Lord, I'm committed to a cause, whether I feel like it or not, whether I see the immediate benefit of it or not. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. And when we're faithful, Paul said of preaching the word, preach the word in season and out of season. Yeah. Be instant in season, out of season. You know, the Lord is faithful to meet us. Yes. Whenever we'll do our part and our response, He's faithful at the moment and at the time that we need inspiration and blessing. The Lord knows how to visit us in those places. But Lord, help us to be committed to the cause, whether I feel like it or not. And I'll say from my experience in our little congregation, what a blessing it is to have folks that are committed to the cause, that are committed, I want to see this thing go on. I want to see this go forward. I want to see this congregation prosper. I want to be a part of that. I want to help somebody else. That prayer meeting, it's not just about if I feel like I have something to share, or if I, maybe I just have something I need. It's, Lord, I want to be able to contribute. I want to be able to be a part of something here. I want to be able to see its success.
Yes.
Be a blessing to somebody else along the way. I believe the Lord honors our commitment. The vows that we make unto the Lord, when we are diligent in fulfilling those, in giving those to the Lord and in fulfilling that to Him, I believe He's faithful to honor and to bless that. So I pray that you will be encouraged and challenged today. There's a cause worth fighting for. There's a cause worth giving ourselves unto. Let's not give up. Let's not let the flag droop. Let's not let at times it begin to falter. But at times when I maybe need a bit of renewing, Lord, stir me.
Amen.
Lord, refresh my vision, my burden for souls, my vision for what's at stake for my own self. There's a cause worth fighting for. You pray for me.
Amen.
Amen.